नमस्कार देवी और सज्जनो, वेलकम टू इस पॉडकास्ट को क्या नाम दू। आई एम एस
अमृत
एंड टुडे वी हैव अ वेरी स्पेशल गेस्ट, माय बेस्टेस्ट फ्रेंड। आई नो हर फॉर ओवर लाइक 7 years नाउ, सो unfortunately she is stuck with me for the rest of my life. You might know her if you're someone who reads comments like anything, then you will know this person because she leaves comments that would put Rajiv Masand and Anupama Chopra to shame. She analyzes every lines and I often wonder, one, how she has not opened a podcast herself, and number two, how she does not have a blog in her name. So Radhe, welcome to this podcast.
Thank you so much. I am still new to the recording world, so sorry if I end up talking over you. But thank you for the fantastic, fantastic introduction. That was so nice to hear. I'm very excited to be recording this with you and Ritz.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm having a little bit of a heart attack right now because these two people are two of my closest, bestest, most important people apart from my family in this world for me. So I am... This is kind of like NK and Lavanya coming together, but they're not like romantically dating each other. Then the amount of joy Khushi would feel, that's exactly how I'm feeling right now. So Radhe, before we go on with our episode and everything, tell us, at least to the people who don't know, how did you end up watching IPK and how did you end up on this podcast?
Well, that's actually a very good question. I don't know how I started watching IPK. I think it was more of, you know, I knew Sanaya's face very well from Malaysia. And I think the trailers might have come on Star Plus and I had watched it. And I think I started really, really watching it properly after S started telling me about the stories. So I think that's my memory of how I started watching Chris Pyarko. And about the podcast, I have been given no option but to feature here. So I'm here recording.
Basically as kidnapped, Radhe, is the conclusion of this.
Yes, I am very much capable of that. And successful kidnappings. Sham, you should have taken a note or two from me. But anyways, of course, I think it's kind of similar. Both Radhe and I were the biggest and still are the biggest fans of Milej Ab Hum Tum, and we would keep on gossiping about Milej Ab Hum Tum during like high school and everything. So I think that's slowly and gradually morphed into our love for IPK.
Definitely did not watch Milej Ab Hum Tum in high school because I watched it in high school.
Yeah, we rewatched it. Like we watched the show after it was.
Now I feel sufficiently ancient. I was just, that statement seemed incorrect to me.
Ritz, you just walked into that. You're just like, please come and tell me.
No, as long as the facts are correct, I don't mind being old as fuck.
Anyways, before heading further, today's episode, we are going to be tracing the amazing ideas of Khushi Kumari Gupta to try and prank Arnav Singh Raizada like an 8-year-old, which is through changing his ringtone, putting juice in his shoes, and adding Mishri ki dana in his in his car to stop it from working. And I think it's a very entertaining track, and we're going to go until Lavanya and Khushi become really good friends to the start of perhaps one of the purest friendships in IPK. So, Radhe, let's start with you. What were the things that you really loved about this track? Yes, we're starting with things we loved before, and to all of those who have watched this podcast, I have a lot to discuss about what I didn't like. So that's why we're starting with what we liked.
Well, I like actually quite a lot of what happened. So I really liked the fun aspect of it. I think even though it was very childish, I had a lot of fun watching Khushi do what she did. And I just really liked her chirpiness and, you know, Arnav's stern face. I think Baran looked really, really good in those expressions. So yeah, that was something I really liked. I also liked that there were some things realistic. So in the sense, I don't have a very clear memory of the flow of the episodes because I think forget things, but I'm just going to pick up things I remember. So yeah, I really like this particular scene when Khushi is brushing her teeth in the morning. That is like all of us, somebody who's not able to get out of bed. So that was something I really liked. I think I like Arnav's outfit. So he really looks good in his casual leisure wear. I think what really stood out for me was the way through the story they're able to show different facets of Arnav's and Khushi's personality without, you know, overtly telling much. You see that Khushi is, you know, chirpy and adorable, but you know the way she talks to Devimaya, I always feel maybe she's a little lonely. She doesn't have anybody else to talk to, so she's talking either to herself or to her god. And I like the Anjali scene as well, where she's talking about the sindoor, and I think that was a really good comic line. So yeah, these are some things I liked.
Yeah, actually, as usual, I can always trust on you to pick up on really tiny things that even escaped my eyes. And I think we are blind to some things when you watch a show repeatedly. And I really liked that you picked up on Khushi's loneliness, which is beautiful. I think a lot of people don't look too deeply into Khushi, Khushi always talking to Devimaya or to herself. And I think that's a very neat little thing you picked up on. Yes, Arnav pisses me off so much in the second half of this track that I completely forgot that he looks absolutely delicious in that suit where he's wearing like a dark, dark brown suit. I think it's almost black with, I think, this lovely shade of blue. I cannot figure out what blue it is. You guys will see in the photograph. But that blue tie and that blue shirt. And I was just like, if you weren't so horrible, I would have admired how amazing you're looking in that scene. And yes, I really love the little nuances that keep on happening. I'll just pick out on a few technical things that I loved in the sequence. That I really love how pretty Khushi looks with open hair. Like, even now, her wig is so pretty. I don't know what happens to her wig in the second half of the show, because it's like a permanent bump on top of her hair. But now when you see her wig, like, you know, especially when her hair is open, it's really not that prominent. It's pretty seamless. So it's very pretty. And I love the moment. There's this just 1 second when Arnav, he opens the door. And Khushi's standing and Khushi's praying to Devi Maya that, like, you know, let Arnav not open the door. I just find that so aesthetically shot. So it's a very well shot scene. And I like it that we understand. I am always a big fan of them using, you know, thoda sa halka sa music, a very soft music to represent that they can feel each other. So Khushi feels Arnav staring at her, but you also understand it because there's a very soft, one of the mildest tones of Rababe playing in the background. And then another technical thing I love is, I love how Akash and Payal's garage scene is shot. It's just very, it's aesthetically very pleasing, and I love their background score. I think it's very surprising because I think it's the same singer, but the entire like tone and bass of their background score is so different. It is that puppy love that I think Rid spoke about a couple episodes ago. Also, I love that Khushi chooses the song Jalebi Bhai, because it's just like, it's somehow scandalous enough that that Arnav is going complete WTF on hearing that ring. But it's also something that, you know, Khushi would listen to every now and then. And I'm a personal fan of Mami just dancing in the background when she's listening to Jalebi Bhai. I think that was genuinely some of my favorite technical thing as such. Also, like, I just tried, one thing I just like in general is how the plot is very coherent. Like, one thing is leading to another thing. At no point am I thinking that how is Khushi coming to this conclusion, or how is this event happening, or how does Akash randomly end up in the Lakshmi Nagar, Lakshmi Nagar. I think I really like that how they're all well connected with each other.
Yeah, I don't. I've decided that I will start a new adventure and record a podcast without watching the episode. So now this is like mind hunting to connect what they're saying to my memories of IPK. I'll echo what I said about song choices. I think IPK always had pretty solid like song choices for the situations that they put the characters in. It was never like too much or too little. Not talking about the second half of the show. Second half of the show does not exist. Or I'll call it like, I don't know, like IPK 1.2 or something. Before that, they always had like good, strong choices for the scenes that these characters were in. And I think Jalei Rubai was just like, given the connection to Kushi's character too, it's just it's not like there's very trashy song choices they could have made. This one's just slightly scandalous. It's enough to scandalize Arnav, but like it's still a song that the family could love, like Ulala, for example. I really like that choice. And I think, I don't know, even the way some of these scenes are shot to me is very interesting. Like I feel like you got certain perspectives in these beginning episodes that they didn't focus on in the later episodes. I just really love how close, I mean, I guess this is something that I'd give them. They did continue to focus on their faces because their faces did a lot of acting. And I like, especially for Burn, because he didn't have a whole lot of like body movement involved, I guess, in his scenes. I like the fact that they focus on his face and stay there so that we get to enjoy the his great acting, mostly with his eyes and his face. Always give him props for that. Yeah, I guess those are the couple of things that I'd call out.
You know, I think I also really love how Sunaya acts in this track, because this is, I would say, according to television, the gold standard of chirpiness. In their eyes, this is the ideal female lead who's doing chirpy, childish things to the immovable, stone-faced male lead, like the stereotype of television. And I've seen so many characters being overacted when it comes to being this sort of chirpy female lead. Like they don't seem naive, they seem foolish. But Kushi's like as Radhe said, Kushi's childishness can be appreciated over here, because there's just a little touch of pettiness that she has, because Payal was upset because of Arnav, and Kushi's on a mission to make Arnav suffer, but also in like proper, I think it's done with enough humor and comedy and lightheartedness that at no point do you think that Kushi is being stupid or things are going out of hand. Like one thing I never understood is Kushi really not celebrating Arnav's birthday right until the end of the day. I mean, Arnav asked for it. He asked for it. So I'm glad he was upset.
I disagree with S on this so much. Every time she brings this up, I'll tell you the pettiness, Kushi's pettiness I don't like. A lot of what she, I mean, absolutely deserved, but the manner in which she expressed it is when they go to the Gupta house during their contract marriage period. A lot of what Kushi does, like that's the kind of like, because she has reasons to be angry, but the way she decides to get back at him really grates on my nerves. Like I can't even watch those episodes because it's so bad. The birthday one, I like, RIP to my future partner, but if he ever said, I don't want you to do, if he ever told me that he doesn't want his birthday celebrated, I would forget about it for the rest of my life. Like that's the level of, not petty, but I also think for birthdays you should give them what they want, and if he wants it to be forgotten, I think Kushi did a perfect job of it. Yeah. I have commentary for that when we get to that point. I think they should have script wise or editing wise flipped a couple of scenes around so that it didn't feel like Kushi had a personality change, but anyway.
Okay, listen, I forgot what happened in the Gupta House for the second half for a good reason. I've edited it so much that I did not remember those scenes even existed. But yes,
you're welcome for bringing your trauma back.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you for bringing up my trauma. But I think
you're welcome.
That was rhetorical. I did not need your welcome. Oh my god. But yes, I think all in all, this is still a very fun, loving Khushi. Like, at no point are they infantilizing what Khushi's doing. I think we can all take joy in what she's doing, and we can all laugh with her and laugh at Arnav. I was laughing at him so much. So yeah, now talking about other small things that I actually liked in this episode is, I like how Shyam's plan fails. Like, you know, his plan of getting Khushi kicked out of the house by planting Anjali's necklace in her bag. The only reason why I like that his plan failed over here is because this is something that happens from here on in the show, is we are made aware of what is Shyam's plans, but the characters aren't. So somewhere in the back of our head, we might also feel like, are our protagonists stupid for not understanding Shyam because we're being so overexposed to him? So I think over here, it was a good way to cut out on the balance of maybe the characters are too blind for, like, you know, in front of Shyam, by showing his plans are not working by an element of surprise, which is Devi Maya. So that really works, because it the whole terrace sequence does not work really well for me, especially due to the editing, because like 2 minutes into the episode and I knew what was happening, and then it was just looking like you're stuck in front of an accident and you can't move and it's a bad feeling. Therefore, you never understand Arnav's perspective and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But over here, what I really like is that we completely know what Shyam has in the works for Khushi. So we are afraid, we feel like a bad accident will happen, but you know, we see that, oh no, there's a little surprise for the viewers. Khushi does not get kicked out because by good fate, Lakshmi ends up with the necklace. And this is something we see it in the beginning of the scene, but we don't know what it means. Is, you know, it's just small things in writing, little changes, but it makes the scene all the more entertaining for us. Again, I really love how Akash ends up in Lakshminagar, all with reason. And I mean, it's also, I just love the scene where Khushi's just so shocked at Happy when Happy tells her that, informs Payal that Akash has not yet arrived. Because Happy looks so offended, but Khushi's like, out of all the auto repair shops in Delhi, this is the only one that Akash could find. And Happy's like, excuse me, Khushi, our shop isn't that bad. It was hilarious, but I loved it. Again, like, you know, Khushi being little smart and noticing tiny, tiny things, it just makes her all the more endearing as a character. And
just wanted to also say, I think this is comedy that works. Like, there's this, the smaller things that they, even certain pranks that Khushi pulled, there's a balance to it that really works in writing here. That they, I don't know, I feel like they kind of lost it a little later on. Like, they made Khushi into not a child, but very childlike. Like, she didn't know when not to cross lines, almost, or what was what would be considered crossing lines in situations. And I always found that weird, because Khushi to me was a pretty balanced character. She had her flaws, I'm not saying she didn't, but I don't know. Like, I always felt like she only gives back what she gets. And these scenes, this comedy really works for me. Later on, the secondhand embarrassment just really, oh my God, I cannot watch or remember.
Yeah, I agree. I won't talk too much about Khushi and Lavinia because that's our point of focus, their wonderful friendship. But I will mention that coming to our beta couple, Akash and Payal are just so well handled in this episode. Tiny things such as Akash calling Khushi as fire. It's a small scene, but it's so sweet. You notice that happening, like, you know, by mistake when he refers to Khushi as fire ji, and Khushi's like, ji ji, wo to ghar pe hai. It's like so embarrassing. Akshay like breathes life when you give him like 1 minute of comedy. The most underutilized character actor on the show was Akshay. And I really like it that the writers realized that it was high time to show that Payal reciprocates the feelings. Because up until now, we only got Payal like liking Akash, but not to an extent that she's decided to marry him. While Akash, you know that he's probably thinking about their kids' names at this point. So I'm really glad that we finally got a scene where we can understand that Payal is not just reciprocating Akash's feelings, but like, uske dil mein bhi kuch ho raha hai. Like, you know, she's really grown soft corner for him. And I love these tiny comedy scenes that I could not stop laughing. I loved it. Lavanya is made for NK. When she calls Arhar ki dal as Arnav ki dal, I'm just like, you know what? You find NK, sorry Ritz, get married right now.
I also mess up Hindi.
Yes, that is literally one of the best things. And you know, as much as I have a problem with the show trying to, I don't know, Indianize Lavanya, I was also thinking that at this point, if they were making fun of that process, like maybe on a slightly subtle note, they were probably making fun of how useless 90% of the things they were teaching to Lavanya, like, because the two people who are teaching Lavanya about sanskar and marriages end up with terrible marriages themselves. Anjali has this blind faith and devotion, and you see that her blind faith and devotion actually led to it's not her fault that she did not understand what a kriposham was, but her foundations and everything was challenged. Like, you know, complete blind faith and devotion towards anything is not good. And Khushi, who has a built-up imaginary world of what marriage should be and should not be, her own world gets shaken as well. Not that any of these women were responsible for their terrible marriages, but I'm also wondering if somewhere down the line the show was subtly, because they could not overtly tell. It's a star plus show. So, like, you know, it's on a channel where Saath Nibhana Saathiya is there. So at the end of the day, I was also wondering if the show was subtly telling us that, you know, knowing the different kinds of dal with useless names like Maki Dal is not really the foundation of a relationship, or Khushi's belief that marriage grants permanency in a relationship makes no sense, granting that she and Arnav, the kind of relationship they have later in the show. So I was just wondering, maybe on a slightly deeper level, that on a pursuit of an idealistic marriage, Lavanya was also going farther away from Arnav than she ever was. And at this point, not counting in all the other problematic things that were associated with it, I'm just giving the show and its writers some credit that maybe somewhere down the line, they were also showing to us that it was very idiotic for the Lavanya turns Desi track. Yes, Ritz, you have something to say?
Yes. I kind of agree that I think the situations that they picked, or the, I guess, like the scenes, and I don't know what to call these, but like the things that they tried to teach Lavanya while she was being turned Indian enough to get married into the rise of the family are ridiculous enough that I would like to think that they're making fun of this whole thing. I just wish, I guess, like, I don't know. The reason I've raved on about the resignation scene that Khushi had is that they make certain things very explicit. The fact that Arnav's not a hero in this situation. The fact that Khushi has autonomy, and that she's a person that deserves rights and to feel hurt by the other main character. These things that they really like explicitly called out, I just wish there was something akin to that for Lavanya later on. Maybe it was, maybe, you know, they didn't have to make it someone else even. It could have just been that Lavanya could have stood up for herself. And people who took her as a bad character would have taken it that way. But at least it would have given you a scene where you were like, yes, like she got her due. I'm sad that she never does. Like, no one else stands up for her. Even people you'd consider her friends, like Kushi in that house. I just feel like there was always like, they were always driving her towards like what's the quote-unquote societally right thing to do, and less like, what is it that you want?
Radhe, anything to add?
Oh no, I agree as well that I think through the entire Lavanya track, they really don't ever acknowledge that they were in the wrong. Even after they break up, after she leaves, they become friends. They never really actually acknowledge how sweet and adorable Lavanya was as a person. They just, I don't know, that's some part that I really felt that they did not tie up at all. But I think all these scenes of where Kushi or anybody else is sermonizing, I mean, these are just scenes I don't like, so I just skip over it. But yeah, in a way, you're right that a lot of what they're saying about marriage just turns out to be completely opposite in reality. So yes, that was probably the subtle way, the writer's subtle way to show that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference between reality and the dream world of what rituals mean.
I'd agree if Arnav and Kushi didn't end up together. I mean, might seem blunt, I guess, but I don't know if they were. The only reason I am not quite convinced that they might have like subtly been pointing, at least maybe Anjali's case, yes, because you're right, her marriage does end up being falling apart. In Kushi's case, I think it's still to a certain extent like she puts up with a lot because.
No, I think the problem in Kushi's case is, as we all know, I think half of the writers, they were like, this is the peak point of the show. They went to the marriage to get, like, they went to the temple to get married and did not collect us on the way back home to Shantivan. So the writers were left stranded. So we know that a bunch of writers for sure might have not been there because the quality of writing and just the tone of the whole story changed overnight. And also a lot of things. See, there's a lot of things in the show where Kushi herself as a character completely contradicts. Like right in the beginning of the show, Kushi is a person who tells Anjali on the face that rituals don't matter. What matters between a husband and wife is the trust, communication and support for each other. And that same Kushi's like, Arnav, remarry me. No, not because we were married on unethical grounds. No, because we did not walk 7 times around a fire. So remarry me for that. There were issues over there.
Consistency issues, yes. I also just, I guess, don't really... Because we never got that scene that kind of called out the fact that this was wrong. I am not entirely convinced that they were trying to show... Like, I don't know. Maybe it was like super subtle guidance for us to get to that point. Could have been.
Yeah, I mean, if you were so expressive about the regressive shit, you could have been a bit more expressive about the not so regressive, the progressive part of your show.
I really enjoyed the... I said this before we started recording, but I was going to be like, I enjoyed the fact that Arnav got hurt. That's a joke. I really like the scene, like the comedy in the scenes, yes. I adore Kushi's like apology to Arnav. It's just one of the funniest scenes, and I know a lot of people find it, like even me, I find it slightly disgusting that she blows her nose with her dupatta, but I'm also just like, you know what, like that, the comedic genius of that scene when she goes like up nub up bade ajeeb ho, Bird's expression and he says is so on point when Arnav goes like main ajeeb ho aur ye tum keh rahi ho is, I feel like that's the essence of the show and their characters. they're weird in their own ways, but neither realizes it. I just really adore that scene. The whole apology, the way Sanaya delivers these dialogues, because I don't think that's up to direction. I think actors put a little spin on certain things. The way she says, like, "Apke juto mein juice." I'm not doing this justice, but the writing in that scene, their acting, and just, I don't know. I also find, I think his smile when he looks at her at the very end is also very sweet. I think it was one of the more, like, the scene that, it's not a scene that always comes to mind when I think of, like, good Arnav and Kushi scenes, but to me that's, it just shows that B always likes to say this, like, find a person who falls in love with your weirdness, or, like, is okay with the crazy side of you. And I think this is a very nice, subtle way of showing that Arnav likes how unique Kushi is, and how weird she is. And he loves her because of it and not despite of it. I'm complimenting Arnav. Are you hearing me?
I am. I'm not going to test my luck by actually commenting on that. For you to say something exactly, be like, yeah, I wanted out of death the very next second. But it's okay. I think I always cracked up that little scene had such great directions. And again, I think one of the things that really worked for IPK was its stellar casting, because the minute Arnav advances towards Kushi, he does not know that he still has a gardening tool in his hand. And Kushi, like, just steps back, and that little, it's a 5-second interaction, but it goes from Kushi thinking that Arnav would murder her with that, and then Arnav just steps back and he looks at the own tool in his hand and he realizes how things look, so he keeps the gardening tool away. It's also hilarious, but it's good comedy. I think we can all agree on the fact that it is good comedy. And I think I really love it that the next rubbave that they have is also slightly comedic, because in this case Kushi purposely spills chai because she was under the misunderstanding that Arnav, like, you know, was being indecent with her by holding her dupatta. So I find it hilarious that in the next rubbave, after her earring gets stuck, he actually gets stuck to her dupatta, and Arnav has this face of, I did not,
like, I didn't do it. I was going to point that out. That was, I just, the fact that Kushi scared Arnav enough that he was preemptively letting her know that he did not do something is a chef's kiss. Is such a good, that's what I like. I don't know, I really love those scenes in combination. Or Kushi remembering the fact, like, when the dupatta is stuck, for a second she thinks he caught it, and then she's like, oh no, I made this mistake before. Just the realization from both of them of what had happened earlier is hilarious.
Oh yes, I love the scene completely. The chai scene was hilarious. Varun's expressions and even Sanaya. I think she really got inspired from, if you watch Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham, Kajol's gamla scene, and the scene by Govinda in Partner where he's crying with the tissue. Itni khushi. I don't know if you watch these two movies, but I really felt Sanaya drew a lot from that. But yeah, but it really was a very, very funny scene. And I also liked when they were having that argument when Anjali broke the laptop and, you know, Arnav just goes ballistic with his words. Not that part. I just really liked when Kushi said, Abhi, shut up. That was one thing I was like, okay, yeah, she's giving him good and I'm so happy about it. Because he really crosses the line over there.
Yeah, I wanted to see more of that spark. No, I agree. I love the fact that she says it in, I think she says it in English, no? Like, because it's I don't know, it's ruder for some reason to insult someone in your second language.
Yes, I think so. It was just, I think when Sanaya's expressions, you know, she was a little scared. You could see it on her face, but she just says it because she's so probably upset or angry with what Arnav is saying and the way he's saying it. But yeah, it was really good. The chai scene was, like, really, really good.
Yeah, and I really like it that I mean, for how much ever we have to ignore a lot of thing at the end of the, as Rith says, that we have to ignore a lot of thing or understand, as Radhi had once said, that there were a lot of things that happened in the background that we don't see for us to believe that they ended up as a couple. And one of the good things that I often see in this show is that Arnav becomes that one person who constantly asks Khushi if she's okay. And so I really appreciated when Khushi's had a shit day with like Lavanya losing Lakshmi and then the whole thing with like Nani and Nani being disappointed because she does not expect Khushi to lie and then Mami insulting her because of this, spilling chai on Arnav. Like, it's quite an eventful day. And it ends up, Arnav is preoccupied because he learns about Mami giving all of that shitty accusation to Khushi, that when he bumps into Khushi and everything happens, he asks her if she's okay. And Arnav starts doing this thing of telling her, of asking her if she's okay or telling her sorry, but in a very subtle way so as to, it's not really highlighted for what it is, but it's kind of like message sent and message received to the person that it matters. So I really like Arnav's Tum Theek Ho. That is one thing I've become a fan of. And I think now is a really good time for us to shift into what we disliked in this episode. And boy, oh boy,
Can I start? Because I have a great transition from what you just said. I believe I might be making this up in my head. Because again, did not watch. But isn't this, like, right before the scene where he asks her if she's okay, this is where her earrings get stuck, right? Doesn't Anjali have a conversation with Arnav and be like, do you think we're doing the right thing when it comes to Khushi? I, like, three slow claps for the Raizada. Yes.
She says, I think we're either on the lines of hame lagta hai hum Khushi ji ke saath galat kar rahe. I think we're...
It doesn't matter the phrasing. I would just give like the slowest clap to the Raizada siblings for being the kind of people who recognize that they're shitheads but also do nothing about it. Like, forever. This is the same thing with Arnav later on. He recognizes that he made a mistake, like a giant mistake, by getting married to Khushi under misunderstanding. Not only does he not fix it, he redoubles on it to keep her in the marriage. Very similar vibe with Anjali. She's like, I think we are mistreating her. But you know what? I'm going to do nothing about it. Because at the end of the day, her... Like, the fact that I used a non-existent contract to bind her to this job is beneficial to me and you. And that's all I care about. Like, I'm so much to hate about this family.
Radhe, please give your 2 cents, especially from psychology. Like, give us a psychological viewpoint on this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they all are a little self-centered. The entire Raizada family, even Arnav was very entitled in the sense that he just says whatever he does and he later realizes, okay, I crossed a line. But there's actually a little reflection or little, what do you say, correction in his behavior afterwards. He just thinks, I think maybe it's good enough to realize that I made a mistake, but there's actually no active work being done to correct that mistake, whether it is apologizing or anything else. I don't know from where that comes. Maybe, you know, that's the kind of behavior they've learned and they haven't really had any guiding figures or mentors or proper caregivers in their life to actually tell them, hey, you know, you should correct your behavior. Because I think even Nani doesn't do that. And she is primarily, if you think of it, after their parents passed away, she is the main person who can teach them a thing or two. But yeah, I think that's a common problem with all the Raizadas. And especially for Arnav, like even at a later time when he forcefully marries Khushi, he thinks he knows everything and whatever he has understood is correct, although of course it's a large, it's a big misunderstanding. But he feels entitled enough to not actually tell Khushi immediately the reason, hey, you know, this is why I married you like this. He just doesn't, he is not willing to discuss what has happened, and that's just really sad for Khushi, I think, that she actually never knows what has happened and why destiny took such a turn for her.
I mean, they're all, even Khushi is self-centered. I'm not pointing this out as a Raiza the family flaw only. I think Khushi also makes decisions, the main one, for her family's benefit. But it's just, there's something worse about a person who's in a position of power misusing that, which clearly Anjali and Arnab are. And just to follow up on Radhe's point, I think this is like, because they don't have a good like authority figure or like, you know, someone who's paternal or a mentor guiding them to the right option, Arnab and Anjali have this weird feedback loop where the other person is the one that they care about most in this world, and anything goes when it comes to them. And because it's this is like a mutually beneficial to them, but destructive to everyone around them, if that makes sense.
It does, it does. And I think, I mean, on a much more serious note, I also feel Khushi did not have much of an option about not telling the truth of Shyam. Like, as much as I consider that to be completely Khushi's fault and she did it because it would benefit Payal's relationship, it's also that she's painfully been made aware, no matter how much her adoptive family loves her, that she was responsible for Payal's first marriage not happening, not the fact that her shitty in-laws demanded for dowry, is that Khushi was not ready to take the burden of, again, being responsible. Like, she's just like, she cannot go through this again. I just don't think Khushi ever had that option.
Yeah, I mean, Khushi had more valid reasons for making that decision than, say, Anjali did in this situation, or Arnav in his own. I'm just, like, I guess my point is more, they all, like, at the end of the day, everything's about making a choice. And Khushi did make a choice that, you know, that she could live with. That ended up being, it comes back. It came back to all of them in their own, in its own way. Khushi's was a tougher choice to make.
And coming back to the current track, this particular things that I did not like, I think we went over this, is the Raizadas never really apologize enough for calling Khushi thief. I find it, if I was at Khushi's shoe, I would feel so patronized if they realized that apologizing to me meant asking me to make jalebis because that makes me happy. And Khushi also becomes happy because Anjali tells her that you can make as many jalebis as you want. You can teach Lavanya how to be jalebis, how to make jalebis. And they know that Khushi does that whenever she's sad. And I'm just like, this woman's self-respect was in question. And because you know she uses jalebis as a way of coping with her sadness or anger, you do not have you don't have a shred of decency to apologize to her and make mommy apologize to her. Rather, you'd be like, oh, Khushi, make jalebis. We know you love it. I found that so patronizing for Khushi. I really did not like that scene. I did not like it that Anjali went to Khushi and she's like, aapko jitni bhi jalebiya banana hai, bana lo. It just pissed me off. And it pissed me off that Khushi becomes happy with it. Like, listen, you were literally called a thief. No one's asking you. Who's asking you to be understanding in this scenario?
Can you imagine your employer fucking something up and as a reward telling you could do more work, which it literally is. Teaching Lavanya how to make jalebis is just more work for Khushi.
Yeah, it's kind of like how the Khushi loves jalebis as much as I love IPK. So if someone did something shitty with me and they're like, chalo, we'll sit and we'll watch IPK together, I would crash my laptop on that person's head. I'd be like, give me a sorry. Just give me a sorry. I don't care about the show. Give me a sorry. So that's there. And I'll come to what I do not like about the Lavanya section, because, oh my God, a volcano will erupt from me. I'll just come back to Khushi and Arnav. I don't like two things in this whole thing. Three things, actually. One, I do not get it why Arnav gets so angry on Khushi pulling pranks on him. She does, like, nothing of what Khushi does has an actual impact to his company or his family. Like, I can still understand why Arnav was pissed off when Khushi told the family about Lavanya, because we know for Arnav it meant hell if Nani knew about Lavanya. And we saw that Arnav's life was made miserable by the fact that Nani got to know Lavanya Kashyap was his girlfriend. But the way Arnav gets upset, like, dude connects dots and has these dramatic monologues, flashbacks, where he's connecting all the points, things he never does for something more serious, which is Shyam's revelation. He never has such a dramatic, he does not have 1/10 of a dramatic scene connecting the dots about Shyam, Khushi, or what's happening. He has one scene to prove Shyam and Khushi were dating. He never has a scene of realization. But yahan pe to banda ne baith ke Shyam, Arnav has this whole scene of staring at a Mishri ki dana and going through this, I don't know, Ekta Kapoor level-esque dramatized monologue of flashbacks, understanding Khushi played a prank on him. Like, I really did not get where this intense anger came from, because Khushi changed his phone number, like, messed up with his car. That too, after talking, like, I really like it that the show Khushi spoke with a mechanic. So she was not really, like, cutting the brakes or something of his car. She did not do something that would lead to a car accident. His car won't start. It won't blow up or anything. And she put juice in his shoes. But Arnav's anger, like, erupting to that level of anger for something as mundane as this is literally, I think, Radhe, you can back me up on this, that this is something that requires therapy, because I don't think it's normal for a person to get upset at this level.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I think it was just misplaced. And okay, fine, he gets angry and all of that, but it's just very aggressive behavior. And it is problematic that they show it as a trait of Arnav. So this is going to probably repeat time and again. And that isn't correct, because it's almost always Khushi is at the receiving side of this part of Arnav. And yeah, he really crosses a line. And I don't know for what it's okay. Maybe he could have been upset or, you know, admonished her a little bit, because it probably irked him in some way, these pranks. Just, you know, it just bothered him maybe a little, but I don't know why he had to go on in such an acerbic tone about her awkward and etc. etc. He just goes on a rant, and, you know, it's like a red flag. You should stay away from such people if they blow up on such trivial issues. Like, it's like a warning. It's almost a warning sign that, hey, you know what? This guy has something really going on in his head, and you probably should stay away from such a person. And another thing which I think you had mentioned in one of your previous podcasts was the use of Rabbaway. So during the argument, they don't. But when they leave the room, they use Rabbaway. And I'm like, my God, he just told such insulting things. I don't think I will be rubbing with anybody after such a conversation. So yeah, that was just I just didn't like it. It didn't go too well with me. It's in, you know, probably not in the most explicit way, but in an implicit way, they are suggesting this is normal and this can be romanticized, which I think is quite problematic.
Yeah, like I agree 100,000% on what you just said, because I'm the kind of a person, probably this is to my fault, but I always trying to find reason behind everyone's behavior and try to give, especially in the fictional world, I try to give them justification and things like that. And almost every time I could find reason that does not justify, but at least explains Arnav's anger, Arnav's, like, you know, rage. Like when he yells at Khushi being the biggest mistake of my life, dick move, completely dick move, divorce him and leave. But I can understand why he got that upset, because one, he has an issue with, like, you know, his mother committed suicide. He saw his sister trying to commit suicide because Khushi went and met Anjali, and that was the one thing Khushi was not supposed to do. Like, the one thing Khushi was not supposed to do that day is not meet Anjali. So I can still get, like, you know, when he keeps on having explosive rages, like, he sees Shyam and Khushi together and he's under the misunderstanding they're having an affair. These are all serious things. But when I saw Arnav going to calling out her aukad, her status, her everything, just because she put, like, juice. What I was really surprised is nowhere in the argument did Khushi go, like, are you literally going to this because I put juice in your shoes? Like, I find it very weird that nobody finds it weird that Arnav became that upset. Even Anjali is like, Arnav, why are you upset? Instead of, Arnav, you're blowing things out of proportion. I think what really worked me up in this scenario is that nobody told him that he's blowing things out of proportion. I hated that he calls her a servant. And what I really hate the fact that Khushi spills hot tea on him. You know why? Not because that Khushi shouldn't have spilled it on him. It's the fact that we never get him apologizing for what he did, because Khushi burning him is a bigger thing to look up to. So the whole scene, the whole focus has shifted to Arnav being burned and Khushi apologizing to Arnav, and we never get to the point that Arnav had to apologize for being an absolute dick to her.
I think that's a general trope, though, of the show. That most of their arguments end because someone makes a bigger mistake or something worse happens. It's never resolved via communication. Or if it is, in the process of apologizing, they fuck something else up even worse. I just wanted to kind of go back to a point that Radhe made earlier. I think the reason, like, to your question about why he gets so angry, I think Arnav is a very entitled character. Anyone around him not behaving or daring to cross him, gets him riled out of proportions. Like, he doesn't react to things in a very rational manner when it comes to someone, I don't know how to put it, like, disrespecting him, someone inconveniencing him, because that's essentially what it is. These are inconveniences in his life that Khushi causes, right? And yeah, it's not a normal response to have, which is what I think should have been highlighted, but instead it's just, this is who he is, and that's fine, because, you know, at the end of the day, he's a hero who loves the heroine. That ultimately, that was sort of my takeaway from it, which leaves a really bitter taste in my mouth.
No, well, I think I agree. I think both that way, if you see when, you know, things really go out of their hand, or even minor inconveniences like this, both Arnav and Khushi regress to very primitive behavior. So for Khushi, it's like, you know, childishness or, you know, infantile behavior, but for Arnav, it's just anger. So, you know, even the most little trigger and they both just go down that road immediately, maybe because, as I said, it can just be the way they were brought up or experiences in their childhood that leads to such thing. But yes, I do really wish that Arnav apologized a lot more often, because he crosses a lot of lines with what he told Khushi in that scene.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember watching that scene and being like, yes, I don't want these two to end up together. I do not. I have to ignore that entire laptop breaking argument exists for me to believe that these two would end up together. And also, one small thing over here that continues to be a trope throughout the rest of the show is that Anjali walks in to Arnav clutching Khushi's hand really tightly. And the minute they see Anjali, he leaves her hand, and you can see the blood rushing to her wrist to cause marks, and Khushi hides it. I'm just so not comfortable with that.
I think the ironic thing is they unintentionally show very well how subtle abuse can be. Like, you know, when people ask, like, oh, how did we not notice, or like, how did we not know that this person was this way? This is why, because, you know, it's not always loud, or it gets written off, or as you know, just a thing that he does. It's just that there was never payoff for it. Like they built it up. They did a very good job of showing what it is, and then they did a terrible job of resolving it.
Yeah. No. I mean, I can't believe that at no point does Kushi ever tell Arnav not to touch her. Given by how we've seen it an infinite time in this show that Arnav really like leaves bruises on her, and they're not like of. It's not, that should not be there.
He freaking leaves his bruises on her when he apologizes to, like, in the process of apologizing to her.
I know, it's quite abusive, his behavior in a lot of scenes, like, verbally as well as physically. I mean, really, in real life, you shouldn't be putting up with such obnoxious behavior, even if he is as probably good-looking and as wealthy as Arnav Singh Rajzada. You really should... I think she does. That's what happens, you know. He is subtly manipulating her or guilt tripping her. So he does something, it evokes a reaction from her, which is worse than him. And then she's made to say sorry. So, you know, the whole process, you just lose what Arnav has actually done.
Yeah. It would be interesting, as I feel like we should do this at some point, comparing the bad characteristics. Or like what you'd consider, why you consider Shyam to be a bad character, and mapping it to some of Arnav's behaviors, you'll find a lot of commonalities.
Yeah, both Arnav and Shyam gaslight their wives a lot. And especially I get it in sense of Arnav's decisions of making, like, you know, necessary cruelty that he often puts Kushi through because he's always justifying it with something better in his head or even to her. Which in my head is like, what the hell are you doing? But anyways, now I will go back to, if I just keep on talking about Arnav and Kushi, I'll just keep on talking about Arnav and Kushi. And I think we all know it that this track for me made no progress. In my head, if I'm accepting this track of Arnav and Kushi, then I am deleting the fact that they can be a couple in the future. I'm just assuming we never got a scene where Arnav ends up saying that Kushi, you don't have to tell me sorry because what I did was shitty. And I'm just imagining in my head that that's, you know, if I ever wrote an OS one-shot series of missing scenes, one missing scene would be Arnav apologizing to Kushi, because then I can't see them going forward. Like, this is a scene that requires an apology, mandatory. And I'm going to go to Lavanya, so this is going to be a 5-minute nonstop rant. I'll try to be as precise and short as possible. So first of all, I hate almost every scene where Kushi is forcing marriage on Lavanya. But then I'm also giving writers the benefit of that doubt that both Kushi and Anjali end up having marriages. So maybe forget about that. I don't get it why Nani is always like perpetually disappointed in Lavanya, that Lavanya does not even know chicken curry. How is that a sign of being a bahu? Like, tumhe bahu chahiye ya tailor? What do you want? Or do you want a bahu or a chef that Lavanya should know every kind of dal? Dude, just name your dal. You're wealthy enough to buy jars that can have the name of the dal. Like, I'm just like, what does Nani want? A supreme butler or a bahu? She needs to know what she wants right now. And I do not get it how Kushi tells Lavanya two things. That number one, if you don't marry Arnav, then he's going to leave you for other women in the future. And I'm like, ho, 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 Santa Claus laughter. Are you serious? And I'm also like, this is the very show that showed Shyam being married is a terrible human being. So maybe they know what they were writing and how it's stupid that Lavanya should have never made the decision to marry Arnav because of insecurity. But I also feel I might be giving them too much credit. It was just stupid. It was just plain stupid.
I think this is one where I feel like I'm just disagreeing with you today. But today, I imagined your thought at that moment was just today. But what I was going to say is that I think the fact that Lavanya and Arna's relationship ends up with the breakup is kind of what just kind of justifies this mismatch to me a little bit, in that, you know, or in a very subtle way that I don't know how to quite put it, but the fact that their relationship ends to me slightly justifies this track a little bit, because it would, like, you know, the minute this starts, it was going heading towards a disaster.
Yeah, fine. Because I just hate the fact that everyone expects Kushi, who has no idea about Arnav, to train Lavanya to become the wife Arnav wants. To the fact that Kushi goes to the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. The fact that they're training Lavanya to be a perfect Bahu wife, whatever, still fucking sucks. I'm more talking about the fact that Lavanya wants... Or, like, Kushi pushing Lavanya towards wanting a marriage? Like, we... I don't know. Just the fact that the relationship ends badly to me is enough to kind of show that this wasn't a good idea.
And I just keep on hearing the smaller things that happens with Lavanya throughout the day, like Kushi telling Lavanya that you should first serve other people before sitting down to eat by yourself. This is one thing that did not even happen in my grandfather's family from my mom's side. Like, everyone sat and ate at the same time. You did not have the bahus, the woman serving first to everyone else. And that's supposed to be a good teaching. Or Nani getting furious that Lavanya calls Arnav baby. Like, are you serious? And, oh my God. And I hate the fact that everything Lavanya does in the house, she's under Nani's scanner. And I don't know, they're trying to play this off as comedy, but it's just giving me a headache. That everything Lavanya does is taken like a daughter-in-law test. Like, she decides to bet Lakshmi. So Nani's like, I give you 3 days to win Lakshmi's heart. Basically, this is also where Lavanya starts becoming Kushi 2.0, wearing her clothes. I'm just so petrified of that thing. I always just keep it into my head that the only way this would be acceptable is if Lavanya actually liked wearing Indian clothes, but then she didn't wear it because Arnav didn't like it. And this is also, I'm praying to God that is also a bad case, that she didn't wear it because Arnav didn't like. But oh my God, I think as Ridzi said, all of Lavanya's endeavors are a little bit explained with the fact that her and Arnav's relationship don't work out. Radhe?
I'm just glad it didn't work out. And I think these are a few scenes I would just like to delete from my memory, which I very greatly do. I don't remember much. But yeah, I mean, I always feel that, okay, once you start changing yourself, I mean, for Lavanya, she changes herself. Okay, I mean, I understand she has to make minor adjustments to, you know, get along with the family, but this is just plain weird. It doesn't just fit right in the way the show was written at all. And Nani is, and her disdain for Lavanya, I think that's a grudge that no matter how much Lavanya changes and how much of her individuality she loses, it's not just going to work out, you know. So similarly, I'll say that for Kushi, Nani, for whatever reason, the family, they like Kushi, that liking is going to just be there. And it shows how biased and prejudiced everybody is in that house. That actually there's no reason for their liking or dislike, except for the fact that one perhaps fits the mold of a perfect, stereotypical, whatever, Indian character or Bahu more than the other. So, you know, at a certain point in time, they're willing to forgive Kushi even after the forced marriage pretty easily, I think, with the holy thing and all of that. But for Lavanya, that acknowledgement, that realization just never comes.
I think the Raisadas are a little bit more in love with their stature and their ideals of what an ideal Bahu is, as opposed to in love with Khushi. Like, there are many beautiful scenes which show that they love Khushi, but it's also because Khushi fits into their mold of what they think is an ideal Hindustani Indian woman. And you understand that the minute Khushi breaks apart from their mold, that is choosing to elope with Arnav, they give her like a hard time for it. They're harder on Khushi than they are on Arnav. Like, Anjali makes a few bare attempts to let the family know that Arnav is equally responsible, but Arnav has an easier time, which I think is also very much in line with our patriarchal society. But it's that Khushi has to make active effort to apologize to everyone and get back into the books of being their Ladli Bahu, as opposed to Arnav. Literally, I think he does nothing, and he is like, Arnav does nothing and he is forgiven by his whole family for elopement, and Khushi has to apologize to everyone, dance as Nanaji to Naniji, try to, like, you know, try to apologize to Anjali, try to apologize to everyone and make things work out. So I think this is where slowly and gradually the show kind of promotes a few problematic things in the show. And we're not even talking about a bad episode. Like, listen to us. We're not even talking about a bad episode, and we have a list of things that we did not like about it. God knows what will happen during, like, the suicide track. There's nothing I liked about it. Not even Arnav's white shirt. Like...
I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, I also don't know, didn't like one thing about the conversation with Shashi that she has towards the end. That they keep reiterating the fact that she's adopted, and that requires, you know, she has to keep proving herself that she's as good as Payal, or, you know, as good as any other biological child. Although I really liked the conversation, you know, it was poignant, and I really liked the bond between Shashi and Khushi. This is another issue that I found, okay, yeah, you know, this problem is going to keep continuing anytime there's something goes wrong, that it's going to be, they're going to point fingers at Khushi being adopted.
I honestly think one of the biggest mistakes was making Shashi paralyzed. I think he provided a very good balance and a very good example of progressiveness. And he was a much missed character. Like, I often find, like, I understand that some reasons at some points of the show, they have to show some things, maybe because they are making a commentary of the society. But with Shashi being paralyzed, you kind of miss out the things that you do like in the show. So, like, coming to things that we did like in the show, though, I think this is a very good time for us to switch into a point of focus, which is Khushi and Lavanya's friendship. That is, I think, who did not like that? Radhe, please bless us with your thoughts on that.
My God, I was so happy that they actually broke major trope with this thing of making Lavanya and Khushi friends. I think, firstly, that I really, really like Lavanya as a character. She's such a sweet and cute girl that, I don't know, she is just very warm. And you feel like, oh, you know, this is somebody I would like to talk to and I would like to be friends with. So when the entire thing happened, and I really saw that Khushi is willing to make, you know, life cover up for her friend's track. And that kind of really push them to becoming friends. And I also like when the you know, they accuse Khushi of becoming a thief, of being a thief, and, you know, stealing the necklace. You actually see Lavanya distinctly uncomfortable with what's happening, but she doesn't really speak, maybe because she herself is under a lot of pressure from that family. But you can see through her expressions that, hey, you know what, I don't think what you're doing is correct.
Yep. And I think what this is, going back to what you said a lot, a bit back earlier, is that Khushi's lonely and Lavanya is also incredibly lonely. Like, she thought she'd get a family or something by moving in with ASR and his family, but she gets nothing. She gets isolated from everyone, and she also gets isolated from the man that she loves. So she's literally alone in this house. and Khushi has always been alone. So they really strike up this, I think they both find another person who listens to them without judging them. Khushi's conflict with Lavanya's upbringing is a result of her own upbringing as opposed to her judgment of Lavanya as a person.
Yeah, I think they just work very well as friends, and it was something that was really nice to watch the entire thing unfold. And I think right from the start, you know, as you said, the conflict was probably in their upbringing, and there was a certain amount of conflict in their thoughts or the way they dressed, etc. But she never really holds any kind of negative judgment against Lavanya at any point in time, even if she probably disagrees with the way she is dressed or, you know, the values she has.
Yep. And I really like it, like, barring from whatever Lavanya ko desi bana, what I really like is that Khushi and Lavanya's friendship is so pure. And Khushi and Lavanya, they kind of develop this friendship where they can tell each other their problems. Especially Lavanya. Lavanya finds someone that she can tell their problems. Like in future when she and Arnav, they're having a breakup, or she and Arnav are not, like, you know, they're not gelling well, or if Arnav yelled at her. Up until that point, Lavanya really had no one, because if she went to Anjali, Anjali would try to tell her, like, you know, try to understand Arnav. Nani is anyways looking for an excuse to kick her out. But with Khushi in the house, you actually see Lavanya going to someone with her problems and being like, Asar yelled at me, or Asar is being foolish, or I think Asar and I should break up. And also Lavanya becomes the first person to tell Khushi that things are not her fault, because later in the show when Arnav and Lavanya break up, Khushi thinks that she is responsible for it because she has quote-unquote trained Lavanya. And Lavanya is so quick to snap back at Khushi and tell her that, wait a second, this has none of your involvement, which I think kind of reaffirms that Lavanya wanted to marry Arnav. That's why she agreed to whatever was happening. And I really like it because Lavanya is the first and the last character to tell Khushi that the things that happened, she's not responsible for it. Because everyone else holds her responsible for, I don't know, even a fly on the wall. So I really loved Lavanya and Khushi's friendship because, first of all, there's nothing like women supporting women. There is nothing more beautiful to see. And I love it that there is a man in common, Arnav Singh Raizada. But that's the last thing that affects their relationship. It has nothing to do with them as friends. And I really love it that Lavanya becomes friends with Khushi, not because she's used to Khushi's presence, because she can find an ethical difference in, like, you know, she has those ethics, which proves that Nani is so blind and Lavanya is genuinely such a nice person that she cannot swallow her mistake and allow someone else to take the punishment for it. She just cannot. And the fact that Khushi did so for Lavanya, in like the maturity Lavanya has to overcome her own judgment and be like, you know what? I'm friends with you and I like you and I want to apologize for everything. It is one of the best relationships in the show.
It is, without a doubt. I think she shows a lot, La shows a lot of understanding. Even at a later point in time when, you know, she notices, at least from Arnav's side, that, you know, he's very attracted towards Khushi, or maybe even more than attracted. She never holds Khushi responsible for it. It's not that, oh, you know, you tried to live with my boyfriend. It's just something that organically developed and she understood it and she walks off, she leaves, but that friendship remains intact, which is such a mature thing to do. I think she was very empathic as well. Just very understanding. And we don't see, I think we just miss out on her open-mindedness as a character. Like even when Khushi is sermonizing about marriage, she's always willing to listen to even things that, you know, might be completely foreign to her or something she doesn't relate to at all.
Absolutely. Like, I don't I don't think Lavanya is dumb when she's like, agar maa ki, like, you know, if a dal can be called mother's dal, then why cannot another dal be called father's dal? I feel she's pointing out the absurdity in naming certain things. Like, I just find, I looked, like, initially when I watched that scene, I was like, oh, okay, Lavanya is probably a little bit on the goofier side. But then I watched that scene again today, and I'm like, you know what? It kind of, she's just pointing out at some basic things. And I like it. I like her. And I genuinely, I just wish Lavanya's Indian clothing were not exactly Kushi 2.0, but something of her own taste, like the red salwar kameez that she wore when she first entered the Rai Zada mansion. But I think what I genuinely like about this friendship is that both Lavanya and Kushi get someone to talk to. If you asked me the one character that I wanted to see back into the show, more than NK, I love that NK makes an entry again into the show. I would have really loved for Lavanya to come back, because that there was a need for a character like that to exist. And I think I also find Lavanya to be so brave and mature and independent that she is friends with someone who her boyfriend clearly does not like. And it makes no difference to her. Like, you know, she can see that Arnav and Lavanya often, I mean, Arnav and Kushi, they often have fights and everything. And even later into her engagement, she stands firm on her ground with her friendship with Kushi, as opposed to anything Arnav might have to say to her. And I think there's a certain sense, you know, I think Lavanya's friendship with Kushi also strengthens Lavanya as a person. I feel she becomes more strong and more opinionated about what her feelings are, which I think is nice. And I think she learns Kushi's tactic of winning over people by seeing what works in their favor.
Oh, yes. Yes. I really like this very small moment where, you know, when they just become friends and Lara calls Kushi as Kushi and not Chamkili. But she's like, Kushi retorts saying that, oh, you know, now you're free to call me whatever you like. That was really cute. That was very sweet. And I think it was just telling of what's going to come.
Yes. And I think that's also a great reflection of Kushi's maturity, that she understands that it's not the word Chamkili, but it was the intention behind it. And, like, you know, what could initially be glossed over, what initially was perceived as something that's garish and too bright, it can also mean a sparkle. It just depends on the person's, like, you know, the person's intent, which is beautiful. Yeah. I think we really lose out women supporting women later in the show. And I think, in my eyes, Lavanya and Kushi's friendship was, in a way, stereotype breaking, offset from what we see on television, and a beautiful way to represent the hero's girlfriend, because almost every hero would be engaged or in a relationship or in talks with someone else who would likely become the vamp. And I love, you know, when the writers would write something like this, this requires a lot of maturity. The only reason why I crib about a lot of things I did not like is because they had the maturity to write this. And I'm like, if you have the sense to write this, if you have the maturity to create a beautiful relationship where you can acknowledge these two women as independent women who bond over their common goodness and kindness, that's the reason why these two women bond. And it does not matter if she's about the man, and like, the man makes no difference. It's these two women who bond over similar qualities as human beings. When you have the maturity and capability to write these scenes, then it's no wonder why I expected more, or why I'm disappointed more in scenes where there's evident patriarchy or regressiveness.
I think it's also to do with so much. I mean, as you said, it's just with the potential that they had. That if they were going ahead with, you know, so many nice things, they could have also corrected the problems. But I mean, I don't know how. I always wonder to myself, that, my God, how did they ever create such a show? It's so much pressure and so, but so much, you know, detail and planning. And I think that's why we're still discussing the show 9 years after, or maybe 10. Are we getting there soon?
We are getting there soon. I think I always found it surprising that with Khushi, she aggressively loves people. So I think I always found it surprising that after such a beautiful scene of them being friends, that Khushi does not stand up for Lavanya's individuality being lost. I think we get a lot of Khushi being upset on Arnav for breaking the engagement, which I also feel Khushi highly interfered with, so I have mixed feelings with that. But I think I'm also just surprised that Khushi does not stand up for Lavanya, because given the person Khushi is and the character we've seen so far, I'm just surprised that at no point Khushi feels that Lavanya is being tested against her limits.
Yes. I think one reason why this is of course from Lavanya's point of view, was that poor girl was trying to fit in so hard that she really didn't mind wearing those Khushi like salwars. And I think it was just for her thinking, oh, you know, these guys like Khushi, so I'm going to be like Khushi, so that I get that acceptance from the family. But that never happens. And I really wish after a certain point in time, Khushi herself would have stopped with the training thing and just, because now that you're friends with somebody, you just like them the way they are. But that was something I think they, as you said, they missed out on.
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that Lavanya wears clothes, that's something Khushi selected, also makes me sad that did Anjali not even want to accompany Lavanya to shopping to buy like Indian clothes that the Rai Zadas and clearly Lavanya Kashyap can afford? Like, did Khushi have to take Lavanya to Khan Market or, you know, go somewhere and get, like, you know, did Khushi have to stitch clothes for Lavanya? Like, would they not really do anything for Lavanya? But yeah, my bro TP, I think the best, I would say, platonic romance is definitely between Lavanya and Khushi. I just love it how a few episodes into their friendship, they both just communicate with their eyes as well. It's such a solid, like, one of my great favorite fanfic ideas is Khushi seeking Lavanya's help. It's always one of my favorite things. I think Lavanya would have helped Khushi at the drop of a hat.
Yes, and considering how she understood Arnav, I think she would have really helped their relationship and influenced them in a positive way, especially when it really went down. And, you know, I think that she is somebody who Khushi not just wanted, but also needed at a certain point in time. I'm happy, of course, that NK was there and, you know, she had Payal and all of that. But I really would have liked to see Lavanya return. I wonder why they never got her back, though. Was the actor not available or was it something else?
I completely agree with you. And I think the reason why I keep on saying the writers changed or something is, you know, the reason why Khushi commits suicide is, or tries to, the thing that they make comedy of, is because Khushi thinks that Arnav still loves Lavanya and married Khushi because there's a Kundali dosh, so he's waiting for Khushi to die so he can go and marry Lavanya. I'm surprised because I thought Lavanya was one person that Khushi truly understood, and I think Khushi was so protective of Lavanya when she learned Arnav broke her heart that I don't think the Khushi we know here, the Lavanya and Khushi friendship that we got here, would have evolved to Khushi being like, oh, Arnav is a married man right now, but he's still carrying an affair. Like, Lavanya would carry an affair with Arnav or still loves Arnav. Like, that was so messy. It felt like a universe, a galaxy away from the friendship that's formed over here.
Yes, I agree. I think they, as you said, maybe the writers just changed, because even if you think of it, I don't think Arna would repeat, at least consciously, what his father did to his mother. I don't think he would. He probably was wrong in 100 different ways, but I don't think cheating was one thing he would do. I don't remember if at that point Khushi knew about Ratna's suicide. I don't remember the show that well. She didn't know. Okay. But even then, this was just very odd. They just were inconsistent, you know, post-marriage. I don't know what happened, whether they just stopped writing or they knew that they had established the numbers and the fan base, so they could just go on with what they had. But I think they just stopped planning as well as they used to in the initial half of the show.
Yeah. And by the way, I must say, I also just love Lavanya's sense of Western dressing. Like, it's her makeup and her dressing is fabulous. And I love it because when she and Khushi were on screen, because they both had such contrasting makeup and dressing styles, they both looked so good on screen in the same frame.
Oh, yes. I think, they were definitely the costumes, the makeup. These were little things that they really got right.
Yeah. I think with that, we come to an end of discussing this track. I have no idea how long this went for.
Oh, I dropped off the call in between, so even I don't know how long this went for, but it was really nice speaking to you. So thank you so much.
Oh yeah, no, Pura, give me a full feedback. How did you like being on this podcast?
Well, a big thank you to you first. It was really, really nice talking about the show that we love so much and we've had so many conversations about, but actually recording it is something... It's a different feeling. I don't know how to explain it. And I'm very happy that I met Ritz. So, two very good things. But I'm really happy that I spent my Sunday morning with you recording something that we love. Thank you so much. And I'm obviously a big fan of the podcast you do every week. I diligently watch it.
I know. Your comments are so lovely. I am begging you to start a Tumblr or just a medium, a blog or anything, because your reviews, you're the Rajiv Masand of our show, I'm just telling you. Rajiv Masand, to anyone who's not familiar with him, he is a very famous Indian critic. And I feel our dearest Radhe has the power and prowess of being such a critic herself. And your comments on this podcast, they're legendary, and I always have a blast. We always have a blast reading through your comments, and you've been with us since day one. And I think it was so much. I'll have you again over here. I'll have you again on this podcast because it's really, I really love the way you pick up on the slight nuances based on psychology. And I would definitely, definitely love to see, like, you know, to hear your take on many of the other complicated parts in the show. So, Radhe, whether you want it or not, you will be there for future episodes. As you know, there's very little of your will in this case.
Well, yes. No, but I'm so happy. I'm really thankful to you for your lovely, kind words. That's very, very sweet of you. Okay, fine. I'm getting a stare from her now. I think I should stop saying thank you before, I don't know, some flying object may come on me through Zoom. Yes. But yes, I genuinely enjoy the show. And I love the podcast, the detail with which you, you know, discuss things with Ritz and even the other guests, B and whoever else is going to come. I really look forward to this. So, I mean, I'm really, really happy today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for gracing our podcast with your presence. And with that, we come to an end to this episode. Once again, thank you so much for the likes, comments, subscribes. It means the world and beyond to us. And I know I'm saying this on literally every episode now, but just in case, for all of you who have not subscribed to our channel, please do so. Please help us reach 1,000 subscribers by my birthday month, September. We will do a big surprise for you guys then. Hope so. We can't get Sanaya and Barun on the show. Unfortunately, that is not possible yet. But yeah, it would mean the whole wide world for us. So thank you so much for your support. We might be planning on rolling several other things as these episodes go on, and we'll keep you updated on that. So till then, this is S. Ritz has told her byes. Radhe, wanna say your bye?
Please subscribe is what I'm going to say, because this is amazing content which I don't think anybody should be missing out on if you're an IPK fan. It really makes you live through all the magic. Yeah, and with that, good night. We all are in such different time zones. I'm confused. Goodbye.
yes, goodbye, good night, and stay safe, guys. COVID is still around, so make sure you're being responsible. Bye bye.